We're doing our In Yaakov class. We're up to page 8, the letter He, Daf Yod Aleph in the Talmud. We were quoting different quotes from Rav Bar Machsia in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria in the name of Rav. And different interesting pieces of advice. And now he gives us another one. Tachat Ishmael velo tachat Akum. Okay, so remember, the Ein Yaakov was printed during a time that the Talmud was censored. You had 30 years where the church would not allow us to print a single copy of the Talmud, and they burnt any copy they could get their hands on. And it was dangerous to own a copy of the Talmud. And then they permitted us to print the Ein Yaakov, but only after it went through their censor. Their censor went through the Talmud and took out anything he didn't like. So here, the word says Akum. Akum means pagan. And Rashi tells us, Me'aramim shayu resha'im yoter. We're talking about the Arameans who were super wicked. Really? You really think that's what Rashi said? I'm willing to bet that if we look this Gemara up in an uncensored version, we will see a different line in the Gemara. So let's look it up. In the Talmud, Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph. So the Rashi in a regular Talmud says Edomim. Suddenly, not Arameim, but Edomim. The Edomites that were super wicked. And I'm willing to bet that the original thing spoke about Minim. That he spoke about, I'm willing to bet, but we gotta find an earlier version of the Gemara and Rashi to see if we can get an uncensored what this really said. Better be under Yishmael than be under someone else. Now, if you're gonna be a servant to someone, you're better off under Yishmael than, okay, we'll go with Rashi, Edom. Tachat Akum velo tachat Chaval. Who are the Chaval? So again, Rashi says it's a nation among the Persians. But we know from other places in Talmud and Tosfos in later on in Shabbos, is it a Tosfos here too? Yes. Tosfos says we're talking about a type of priest that came to Babylon, and they were called the Chabarim. And these Chabarim were especially cruel to the Jews, and they used to wear black clothing. That's why the Talmud discusses that the Chabarim look like angels of death, because they're always encloaked in black. And they used to wear wide clothing. So the Talmud gives different stories about how they would persecute the rabbis. That's what it's saying. Better be under a Yishmaeli than an Edomite. Better be under an Edomite than be under this Chabar, whatever that was. Tachat Chabar, and you're better off serving this Chabar velo tachat Talmid Chacham than being a servant to a Talmid Chacham. Why? Because the Chabar, if you get him upset, he might beat you up. But if the Talmid Chacham gets upset, so then in heaven they'll beat you up. So you're better off being under them. Tachat Talmid Chacham, you're better off serving a Talmid Chacham, velo tachat yatom ve'almana, and not being under an orphan or a widow, because in heaven, heaven has an open ear, even when everything else is closed in heaven, so to speak. They're listening very closely to the cry of an orphan or a widow, and so that's why a person would be wise to find a different employer. Don't be a servant in their home, because they are super sensitive, and because they are super sensitive, so then in heaven they care about them. And this is an interesting point. You'd say, hey buddy, don't be so sensitive. And the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says if she's a widow, or he's an orphan, or she's an orphan, so then in heaven there's extra care given to them, and their prayers and their tears are answered more readily, because they are more sensitive. And that's a recurring theme in Tanakh and in Talmud, The Talmud says it about women as well, that because they're more sensitive than men, so then there are more demands that a man be more sensitive to their needs. We have another quote of Rav Bar Machsia in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guya in the name of Rav. Kol choli, a person should rather have any type of illness, velo choli me'ayim, and not the illness of the intestines. Now, forgive me one second. Kol choli, person should rather have all types of illness rather than choli me'ayim, an intestinal illness. Kol ke'ev, any pain, velo ke'ev lev, and not a heartache. Any ache, but not a heartache. Kol mechush, any type of something that bothers you, velo mechush rosh, but not a headache, that shouldn't bother you. Kol ra'a velo isha ra'a, any ill except for an illful wife, a bad wife, that's the greatest ill. So Rashi is very interesting over here. Rashi says there's a distinction between choli, ke'ev, and mechush. Choli is an illness. That's something that, as it goes, it saps a person's strength and wears him down. That's the word choli. Choli is specifically a long illness which saps strength and wears a person down. So any illness is better than the illness of the intestines. That's when we're talking about a protracted illness. Ke'ev is an ache. It's a pain that comes and goes, like a toothache. Like if a person gets a wound, sometimes it hurts more, sometimes less. So the Talmud says any ache is better than a heart ache. When the heart aches, when a person is hurt, so that's the worst. Mechush, so that's something which it's a slight pain, it's a slight bother. So all slight bothers are less hurtful or less harmful than when one's head hurts him. So even though it's slight, but even a slight headache is the most bothersome of them all. Ra'a is something that's really bad for a person. What's bad for a person? All ills are better than a wife that's bad for a person. Isha ra'a, a wicked wife, a bad wife, that's the greatest ill. So that's an interesting line in the Gemara. Another piece of advice from Rav Bar Machsia in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria in the name of Rav. If all seas were ink, and if all the swamps where reeds grow would be kulmusin, if all those reeds would be quills, they would be in ancient times, the Yemenites still do this, they would write with a reed. They didn't use a feather, they used a reed. So if all the reeds were the quills, were the pens for the scribes, v'shamayim yiriot, and the heavens would be the scrolls, v'chol bnei adam lavrim, and all of humanity would be the scribes. So you have everyone writing, and you have all the pens in the world, and you have all the ink in the world, and you have all the parchment in the world. En maspikin lichtov chalala shel rashut. All that together would not encompass the depth of understanding that leadership requires. Because at the same time, a person has to think about the taxes he has to give to different cities, the wars he has to fight, the justice he has to ensure. Think of Obama for a minute. As much as you might have it in for the guy, he has so many things to contemplate at the same time. North Korea, South Korea, Israel, the Middle East, what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Sudan, in Darfur, in Iran, it's all relevant to him. Now that's just one part of his life. He's got to think about the fact that he doesn't have a compromise with the Republicans, all the taxes that are going on, the plans that are falling through, Obamacare. I mean, he's got to think of a million things in any given day. His plate is full. He's got so many things to deal with. So the Talmud says, when you look at leadership, you should realize that it requires a depth of heart, a depth of thought that's beyond what we could write. If you'd use all the pens and all the quills and all the scribes and all the parchment, you wouldn't be able to encompass how many things, how many thoughts have to go through a leader's mind when he's responsible for governing over people. Me'ei kera, what verse indicates this concept? Amar Rav Misharshia, Shamayim larum ve'eretz la'omek ve'lev melachim ein cheker. The verse says Rav Misharshia, the verse says, the depths of the heavens, the depths of the earth, and those, even if you could cover those, you wouldn't be able to cover the depths of a king's heart. It's easier to cover how high the heavens are and how deep the earth is than to figure out how deep the thoughts of a king are. So that's what we learned today. We learned that a person should choose a leader that'll punish him as least as possible. That's an interesting philosophy, that when you enter an employer, think of the worst case scenario. It's like I say, when you choose a school, think of how that school deals with the kids that do not succeed. I mean, that's part of what you have to check in a school. Then we learned that better the illness of any illness but the illness of intestines, any pain but a heartache, any slight pain than a slight headache, and any ill than a bad wife. And finally, we learned that we should have an appreciation for the depths of thought that leaders have to have.